I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And I'm Sean Watson.
And we are Commanderin. Thanks for listening, everybody. We focus on topics the community wants to hear about and talk to interesting people along the way, but never, ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit by searching for Commanderin MTG Podcast. We have a fantastic episode lined up for you. This week, we're going to talk about Battle for Zendikar, which has just been fully spoiled. What do you think, guys?
Yay!
Woohoo!
Before we go into too much detail, we have a bit of news. The first item is, if you're listening to this, congratulations, because we've been having a bit of trouble with our RSS feed. In short, I messed it up, and our main tech whiz is on vacation, so we'll be up as soon as back up on iTunes and other services that rely on RSS feeds as soon as we can.
Yeah, Phil.
And in the meantime, we're available directly from our website and on MTGcast and YouTube. Yeah,
thanks,
sorry about
Nate.
That, guys.
Thanks, Nate, for the YouTube. It's wonderful. That's how I'm consuming us at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Through YouTube.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's excellent because we have all sorts of bonus content up there. And Nate, thank you for taking the time to put that bonus content up. That's awesome.
I put pictures on the words.
You also put some words together and then put music underneath them words.
Oh, yeah. I do that sometimes.
Yep. You have a good eye? Ear for bonus content.
All right.
Yeah.
In other news, Lifelink does not go on the stack. So
what?
Therefore, Heartless Hidetsugu should wear Lifelink. Sean. Over to you, Phil.
I think we might have to start a regular corrections and apologies section at the beginning of the show.
We'll need a separate stinger for that, won't we? Plus, we need a Sean Begs for Stuff stinger and a Phil Begs for Stuff stinger.
That's true. And we should have a little very quick, like, 3-second stinger for add it to your shopping basket. Maybe ching or
oh,
something.
Oh, my. You know, our last episode, I spent a bit of money. I'm just saying. Okay. We also have a brand new token for everybody, just in time for the Battle for Zendikar holiday season. And listeners and watchers of YouTube can probably see this one already, right? Nate, I'm sure you have already put it up, but we have an Eldrazi Scion token, created to look somewhat silly and whimsical by my talented wife, Kelly DeLuca. Thank you, Kelly, for working on this, and we hope that our listeners find some use. I know I'm going to print a bunch out and paste them onto some old Therosian forests or other basic lands and use them in my pre-release.
Yeah, it looks festive.
It reminds me of what I ate when I went out for Japanese the other night. So, delicious.
Yeah. She decided to interpret the Eldrazi Scions, because I always describe them as a mass of tentacles with crazy bifurcated arms. And so she made it a very tentacly Eldrazi Scion. I really, really enjoy it.
It's part of Ulamog's brood, judging by the art.
Yes, yes. Because, of course, there's no Kozilekian or Emrakulian.
There's a herald of Kozilek.
Yes, there is. And we'll be getting into that, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
So, I guess they'll be printing other scions of each of the other broods, maybe in Oath of the Gatewatch, maybe in Emrakul Tur's new Phyrexia. That's the set after Oath of the Gatewatch. They really searched for that name.
Who's the support act? Is it you two, or...?
Yeah. Maybe we should work on a buddy movie skit.
Bono and Emrakul touring New Phyrexia.
All right.
Emrakul leaves. Bono just says, I'm really sorry. Sorry.
I'm now, so sorry.
Now send us some money to help these people.
And we've been talking about this a little bit, but we haven't actually done anything about it. I've also got a hankering to playtest Limited with some older sets. Do either of you guys have any desire to do that?
I would love to have a go on Innistrad.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, actually. Innistrad. I missed that. Yeah.
And I missed it because it was just after, just before, sorry, I really got back into Magic. So all the cards from Innistrad are very cool. The other block that I would love to do is the Eventide, Morningtide, Shadowmoor, other one, forgot the fourth one. I would love to do that chunk.
Yeah.
Love me some fairies.
Although that one, everybody says, is kind of not a great limited environment because it's on rails, but I'd still like to try it just because I'd like to see some tribal fighting. Another option is to use Cube. We also have listener Johnny Crass, Johnny underscore Crass, who has a fantastic Cube, and we should get him to share that Cube online and we can play test it for him.
Yeah, I would love to play with his Cube. He's my he's a Mythos, Cthulhu Mythos fan like I am. So he must be loving the Eldrazi stuff. That's all Lovecraftian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got to be.
Hey, do you read Charles Stross?
I haven't, but it has been recommended to me by Pete.
Yeah, try the Laundry Files series.
Okay. Link in the show notes.
Yeah. All right, so... Yeah, Nate, you took the time to summarize the new ability and keywords for Battle for Zendikar.
Sure, I'll go through them real fast. Devoid means this card has no color. But if you're playing EDH, the casting cost still needs to be in your commander's color identity. Next one. Ingest. If you do combat damage to a player, combat damage, then they exile their top card. Next, we got Awaken. If you pay a different cost for a spell, you can turn one of your lands into an elemental.
Ooh.
Next one, Converge. If you remember Sunburst, Converge is Sunburst for spells. You pay different colors of mana for a spell to power it up. Now, returning ability words as a theme for the set are Landfall.
Yeah.
When a land enters your battlefield, something happens. And another one is Rally. When this creature or another ally creature enters your battlefield, something happens. Probably good.
Landfall's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Landfall coming back's great. It was always an amazing amazing ability. Very popular as well. Very nice to see it come back. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, and everybody plays lands.
Devoid is worth mentioning. Remember, kids... Color identity and color of a card are totally different things. So a card like Shu Yun, his color identity is white, red, and blue, but he is a blue card because he only has blue in his casting cost. And then anything that's devoid, its color identity, although it's still colorless, its color identity is any colored symbols in its casting cost or activation abilities.
Yep, that's a great explanation for that. And this set has plenty of cards with Devoid on it, because, of course, Mark Rosewater has said that the primary characteristic of the Eldrazi is that they are colorless, and this is especially important because they needed an identity after they lost Annihilator. Except for one card that sneaks it in.
Yes, it does.
All right. So we're going to... talk about Battle for Zendikar, and we've taken the time to pick five cards each and some honorable mentions in some cases, and then at the end, after we list ours, we will go through the cards and the decks that our listeners have selected and provided to us. So, Sean, since this is a Cthulhu-esque set, do you want to start us off with your number five, and then we'll go to Nate's number five and my number five? We'll rotate through that way.
Why I mentioned Cthulhu, I'm just going to say all hail the king in yellow. Anyway, moving along. Right, so this is a set full of giant creatures, huge, impressive, mythic spells. So what do you think I've gone for as my number five, guys?
That's right. White Planeswalker.
Nope, it's a common land. I've gone for Mortuary Mire. There was a cycle of common lands coming out in this set that all enter the battlefield tapped for one of their... related colors and have another effect, and this was my favorite. This is the black one, so it enters the battlefield tapped. You can tap it to add one black to your mana pool, and when Mortuary Mire enters the battlefield, you may put target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library.
It's fantastic.
Black uses its library a lot. You're often sacrificing things, stuff's going in. Just swap out one of your swamps for this. You'll be happy all day. I mean, it's going to go into every black deck I own, and if that's not power for EDH, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it goes into all of my black decks except Mariuk.
That's because you don't have a graveyard, you filthy man.
Exactly. Nobody has a graveyard. Oblivion to all.
Oh, God.
I hate you.
Oh,
if only there was way of interacting with the Exile Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be our defense against Mariuk, isn't it? A lot of the Eldrazi processors.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great card. Nice pick. And since it's common, you'll have enough for every one of your decks.
You will. For pennies. Pennies. Cents. Nickels and dimes. That's American money, right?
Yes. My number five card is probably reflective of my current desire to include more effective enchantments in Karametra Enchantress. And that's Quarantine Field. It's a mythic rare enchantment for XX white white. Quarantine Field enters the battlefield with X isolation counters on it. When Quarantine Field enters the battlefield, for each isolation counter on it, exile up to one target non-land permanent an opponent controls until Quarantine Field leaves the battlefield. That's pretty good. It's an Oblivion Ring, but for multiple cards.
Yeah.
The only downside, of course, is that you can now, with the processors, you can recycle exiled cards, but only so far from your opponent's graveyard.
Yeah, it's a shame it says non-land, eh? Otherwise you get infinite mana, I'm going to exile the table.
Yeah.
It's almost like someone at R&D thought about that and went, hey guys, did you just add the word non-land in here?
Yeah, it's a pretty good card, and I can see it's essentially a one-sided board wipe. And I look forward to testing it out in Karametra Enchantress.
Yeah, it's scalable Oblivion Ring, and that's got to be good, right?
Yeah. That does not suck.
No.
Nate, what's your number five?
My number five is Liara, Mass of the Effect. She's two, a green and a blue, Planeswalker, Kiora, Loyalty 4, plus one, untap up to one target creature and up to one target land.
Not bad.
Minus two, reveal the top four cards of your library. You may put a creature card and or a land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard.
Minus That's pretty good.
Eight, you get an emblem with... Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may have it fight target creature. In addition to that emblem, you put 3 8/8 blue octopus creature tokens onto the battlefield.
That's a great card. Yeah, this is a disgustingly good card. This is the Simic equivalent of that Liliana Vest that comes down, you drop a minus two a couple of times. The tutoring Liliana. Just do that minus two a few times, go looking for creatures. It's fantastic. And a land. It's so
and
good.
A land. Yeah, that I mean we're gonna see the minus two quite frequently, of course. And Nate, you will never be allowed to use a doubling season.
If doubling season is out, then you pay four mana for an immediate ultimate of 6/8/8 fighting octopi.
Oh, Fightin' God, you get octopi. Double the octopies as well, the octopodes.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Hey, Sean, you've played the Mass Effect series, right?
A lot. I literally just finished Mass Effect 3 for about the fourth time, yeah.
Yeah, I've played it through several times. And for those who haven't played it, it's a BioWare kind of shooter role-playing game.
It's my favorite video game ever, and I've been playing video games since I was, you know, old enough to pick up a controller in the 80s.
Yeah, so it's a sci-fi game, and there's this race of Asari, which are these blue female supermodels, and they can mate with any species. And
male
so,
or female, yeah.
Yeah, and so you have romance options in the game. And I played through the series several times, and I just kept going back to Liara. I got blue fever. I admit it. I got blue fever.
Blue fever.
I usually played as a female shepherd, but when I played as a male shepherd, I went for Tali because I had space gypsy fever. So, interesting thing about Kiora, very quickly. Kiora is the name of an incredibly popular brand of orange squash in England.
Of orange squash?
Yeah, like concentrated orange, like orange Kool-Aid. So every time I see her, I'm like, no, I could go for a glass of Kiora right now, yeah.
Happens to contrast perfectly with blue.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's the complementary color. So you should get some of that for Nate the next time he has a go at Mass Effect.
Yeah, should. If you've ever watched Spaced, have you ever watched Spaced with Simon Pegg? And
yes.
There's an obscure joke about Kiora where it keeps going, there's too orangey for crows, in a running joke in one of the episodes that's a reference to Kiora. Yeah, anyway. That is a properly idiosyncratic comment, so I expect it to be cut. But there you go.
No, it won't be cut just because it's idiosyncratic.
Yeah, it's indulgent as well, and particularly...
That's all right.
Anyway.
No, it's important that we recognize our English listeners. I checked the stats, actually, and in our last episode, we had 2 British downloads. And I assume one of them was you, Sean. So our other English listener, thank you. And tell other British people all about our discussion of your Kiora drink.
Spot on. Spot on.
Well, that means other British people are downloading this through, not through iTunes, because I know at least, I know several other people. But I do know one other English person downloads it through iTunes. So hello, Steve Pink. Hello, Steve Pink. Anyway.
So what's your number 4 card?
So we talked about this card.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it's Fathom Feeder, although we had it named because we had a translation of it when it was spoiled as Scavenger of the Deeps. It's actually called Fathom Feeder, and it's the 1 Dimir, so a blue and a black, for a 1/1 devoid creature with death touch and ingest. Pay 3 and a Dimir to draw a card, and each opponent exiles the top card of their library. 5 mana is quite a lot to do that, but 2 mana for the Death Touch 1/1 is really good, and late game, it's going to draw you a load of cards.
Yep, I like it.
Yeah, solid. Plays into a few strategies that I like to play with. It's in my color pie. I literally, Richard Garfield and Mark Rosewater would have turned up on my door and kicked me to death if I hadn't put that on my list. Not that they condone violence.
I have word from both of them that they were actually on their way to England until I told them you had selected this.
They can turn back. They can turn back.
You know, I hate to say it. I would attack into this just to prevent you from getting that 5 mana draw card exile effect.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would. I mean, this to me is a top target.
Yeah, it's very comparable to Baleful Strix in a lot of ways. I think this one's going to be one that floats around for a while, and I don't think it will replace Baleful Strix in people's decks, but I think decks that want that kind of utility creature playing in Simic, playing in Dimir, is going to... they're going to run this card a lot. I can see it being a staple in all blue-black... Well, a lot of blue-black decks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also... Sorry, one more quick. It's really the Fathom Feeder is fantastic if your opponents are doing stuff like Vampiric Tutor, Worldly Tutor, any tutor that puts the card on top of their library.
Yeah. Don't put it there.
Yeah, because it inhibits them from using it. Exactly.
Don't put it there.
But you could always tutor for a Mist Hollow Griffin, put it on top, and then the joke is on the Fathom Feeder.
Or Torrent Elemental.
Torrent Elemental, that's right.
Torrent Elemental is a fantastic card.
Yeah, not quite as effective as Mist Hollow in the sense of evading that exile. Talk about corner cases here. Only because it enters the battlefield tapped. Aha, my opponent has a Fathom Feeder. I will tutor for a Mist Hollow Griffin or Torrent Elemental to spoop him. My number 4 plays well with a variety of black decks. It's Vampiric Rites, an enchantment. For 1 and a black, and sacrifice a creature, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
That's really, for 1 black, that's really good. For how one black mana, that seems good. How can you exploit the hell out of this card, Phil?
Well, it's not like black sacrifices any creatures or needs to sacrifice. Oh, wait, right. They do all the time. My intent is to put this into an Athreos deck. Kind of dust off my Athreos deck, find a decent sac engine, and replace it with this better one. Also, in Carador, this is excellent, because it then feeds Carador with the Enter the Battlefield effects, and as long as there's no graveyard hate out there,
tee-hee,
then this will be pretty effective. But if there's any graveyard hate, then, well, you have to get rid of the things what hate the graveyard.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't even speak there. I got all choked up. I guess the answer there is play this after you eliminate Nate from the game.
Hey.
What? So, Nate, let's go to your fourth.
My number four is Bane of Balaged. Costs 7 colorless. Creature Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm.
7/5. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Hey, whenever Bane of Balaged attacks, defending player exiles 2 permanents he or she controls.
Oh.
So Wizards of the Coast doesn't like the Annihilator keyword? Well, looking at this replacement ability, I approve. I think Annihilator was too gentle and needed to be better, so I'll take it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think every time you attack in with an Eldrazi, Nate. That I'm like, wow, you know, this Annihilator, it's just too soft.
Yeah, I can block and stop that happen. Oh, hang on.
Can you imagine if this had Trample?
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it's uncommon as well.
Yeah, we're all going to see this frequently.
Yeah.
And it triggers... It's tutorable with that new Eldrazi tutor land that the Command Zone spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Ugin's Sanctum.
Sanctum of Ugin.
Sanctum of Ugin, yeah. That's a great card. Bane of Balaged.
Yeah. The Vorthos aspects are pretty good, too.
Balaged, I will break your spine of Issa, because I am Bane.
Only when Zendikar is in ashes. The continent of Balaged was ravaged by a massive Eldrazi.
It will be quite painful.
For who?
You.
Wow.
It's like Bane is in the room. There you go.
It's good to know the Bane of Balaged's voice, too.
Yeah, it's important.
Perhaps somebody with a microphone can get close to the Bane of Balaged and have an interview with it.
I'll write him some questions.
But you have to be quick, because he's going to turn you to dust as quickly as he can.
It's weird. There's no card called the Harvey Two-Face of Emeria in this set. That's just strange. They've not gone with the Batman theme across the board.
Oh, but there is a card with two faces.
Harvey Riku.
There is, yeah. Oh, right, Vorthos people. Batman theme deck, go! Right, or Gotham theme deck, more specifically, go.
Hold on, it's the card with two faces.
Oh, Desolation Twins.
Well, there's Desolation Twins, but no, there's one with... Oh, look on Spell Shrivel. Check that out. That Eldrazi has two faces.
Anyway.
Also Endless One, but we'll get to that, won't we? Okay.
Yeah, someone will bring that up.
We are not easily distracted on this podcast, it's worth noting. Sean, back to you.
My number three, chosen purely because of its super-duper wacky weirdness, is Mythic. It's a Void Winnower. It's crazy. It's 9 mana for a colorless creature, Eldrazi. It's an 11/9. And here comes the bat
boop.
Mental. Oh, sorry, boop there.
What's an Eldrazi boop sound like, Nate? Wow, that's also conveniently a Dalekian boop, isn't it?
Somewhat!
Jesus. So the Void Winnower.
We're totally off the reservation this episode, guys. It's awesome.
It's like we're wandering the blind eternities ourselves.
Is this the effect of daylight on us?
We just need a little lay down to get over our trip through the blind attorneys. Right, so Void Winnower. This card is mental. If this was spoil really early on, I know that people would have said this is fake. But it's not. It's real. Your opponents can't cast spells with even converted mana costs. Zero is even. And your opponents cannot block with creatures with even converted mana costs. Absolutely mental.
Yeah.
And I'm a mental health professional, so I know mental.
Hey, tokens are even, huh?
Tokens are even.
So they have a casting cost of zero. Like, just insane. Stuff you can do. So it's your opponents can't block with creatures that are even converted mana costs. That's not just you in a game of EDH. So if I've got this out, Nate, you can't block Phil's creatures. Phil, you can't block Nate's. It's not just my creatures you can't block.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. And just before, because I know our listeners are already writing in, you did say tokens don't have a casting cost.
So, yeah, that's true. Tokens they don't have a casting CMC. Cost.
Right, it's a
they don't have a CMC.
But they can't block.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh.
They are unblocked. They can still attack.
Tokens can't block. Yeah, I think in a month or two, we're probably going to see this guy on a watch list.
After we see it in action, are you saying?
Yeah, I want to try it out and see how well removal still works.
Well, a lot of decent black removal is an odd mana cost, so you know.
Yeah,
yep. Heroes and Downfall, Swords to Plowshares, Path to Exile.
There's a new black removal spell in BFZ as well, which I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, and it's got a 3 CMC, so it's good.
Yeah. BFZ with the CMC. It sounds so wrong saying Z. It's BFZ. Anyway. So Void Only, Winnower, just
I guess
genius.
Terror effects and Go for the Throat won't work.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see, Nate. Are you planning on putting this in any decks?
It's going into Animar.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
A lot of these things are going into Animar.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, any colorless Eldrazi, just insert after we've mentioned its name, is going into Nate's Animar deck. And there you go. We've saved you loads of time.
Oh, and Rakdos Lord of Riots is going to get an overhaul.
It's a Void Winnower. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It will seriously affect the table when it drops. I'm looking forward to just putting this out and going, yeah, boom! And everyone going, oh god, what can I cast? Putting the hands into two piles.
Boom!
Yep, this is being the problem, not being the problem solver.
Boop.
Yeah, here's one for the Eldrazi to boop. It's like, you put this down and you're like, deal with that. Boop!
Bill.
Yes, sir.
What's your number three?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. My number three card is specifically to counter Void Winnower.
Yeah.
And
Even casted spell.
Oh,
it's
God.
Even casted. It's got an even mana cost. So what you gonna do now?
Cry.
Boom.
Well, against most other Eldrazi, because I anticipate Nate to be playing a great deal of Eldrazis. Eldrazi, sorry. I chose Aligned Hedron Network for 4 colorless mana. It's an artifact, rare. When Aligned Hedron Network, by the way, terrible name, enters the battlefield, exile all creatures with power 5 or greater until Aligned Hedron Network leaves the battlefield. So.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And in terms of Vorthos, it's kind of fun. I think this is the climax of the Battle for Zendikar set story.
Looks like it.
Well, it's certainly how they take out Ulamog by the looks of it.
Yeah. Ulamog of the big hands.
Those hands look clammy.
You can make some kind of web series, like of technicians or janitors who work at the AHN. And the stuff they have to deal with every day.
I think you're right. There is a comic series in here. Maybe we should work on that. If only we had talented writers on the show. Oh, wait. We've got two. I'm, of course, accepting myself from that, so.
Well, as you should.
Yeah.
See, I'm being mean to you now.
So, Nate, what's your number three?
Number three, From Beyond.
Oh, no.
Three in a green, enchantment, devoid. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature token onto the battlefield. It has. Sacrifice this creature, add 1 to your mana pool. Also, for 1 and a green, you can sacrifice From Beyond. Search your library for an Eldrazi card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
You were really not supposed to see this card.
I saw it.
Yeah. But you were supposed to miss it.
Yeah.
So, did you two guys see the other two cards in this cycle? There's From Bed and From Bath.
That's excellent.
That'll be in the next two sets, though.
Fits into the Bant theme, doesn't it?
Bed, Bant, and Beyond?
The bed is white, and the bath is blue.
From Beyond is Awakening Zone with a tutor option. So if you already run Awakening Zone and one or more Eldrazi cards, you probably run this as well.
Yeah, Awakening Zone's already a good card in numerous decks. So this is strictly better?
Yeah, this costs 1 more mana, but the tokens it makes are not as useless in combat as the Eldrazi spawns.
And you have the tutor effect.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's the tutor effect that really takes us over the top. I mean, Awakening Zone is great ramp, right? Because the next turn you've advanced at least one turn, right? I say at least because Parallel Lives and Doubling Season can make that 2 or 3, and Primal Vigor, although I would counsel folks against running Primal Vigor. But it's the tutor effect. Yeah. And that was why I did not want Nate to see this card. It's just, it's innate, it's not appropriate. It's not as good as it seems, so don't run it.
It looks good.
Yeah, it's solid, isn't it?
It really is.
It's a better version of an already good card.
Yeah.
Phil, and this is just a message for Phil. No, you don't need to listen. Phil, are you getting the feeling from this set that we're really going to have no fun playing against Nate for quite some time?
Well, I think this set has really... I'm the big loser in this set. Because you are going to be playing some awful Dimir cards. And Nate is going to be playing some awful Eldrazi cards. And what am I stuck with? I'm stuck with some Landfall Allies or something.
Yeah, you get Allies, which is... okay.
Retreat to Karametra.
Yes, exactly. I'll just play Karametra. Although remember, I have no compunction against using Eldrazi in my deck except the very large ones because of bribery. But now with all of these smaller Eldrazi, like there are a couple that are making it into Mimeoplasm for show.
Speaking of Eldrazi,
exactly.
My number two is an Eldrazi. So this card was, for a long time, my absolute favorite spoiler from the set, until my number one got spoiled really late in the day. But those of you that follow my Twitter feed, so all three of you, so Phil and Nate are two of them, will know what I've already said about this card.
The other British listener.
And Steve Pink, yeah. Smothering Abomination.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, 2/2 black for a creature Eldrazi, 4/3. He has Devoid, so he's colorless. He's a flyer, which is pretty good. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature. That's not very good, I hear you say, although there are ways of exploiting that. And the more important bit, whenever you sacrifice a creature, draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So in numerous black decks that run things like Dictate Effects or Dictate of Erebos, Grave Pact, Butcher of Malakir, if you're in white as well, you can run Martyr's Bond. This is disgusting. So you sack a creature, draw a card, everyone else sacrifices a creature. That's great. If you've got any kind of graveyard loop, if you have a board state and you desperately don't want it to be affected too badly. You can sacrifice the abomination to itself just to draw a card. So it cantrips itself. This is unbelievable. This is going to go into so many of my decks. Like, that's going to go into Garve deck, and it's just going to be, all right, okay. I was already sacrificing stuff to move tokens around. Now I get to draw a card every time I do it. It's just disgusting.
It really is. This is another card that I'm going to try to find a home for in Athreos. I'm going to try to find a home for it in Carador, and that'll be fairly straightforward. And this really, you know, it really kind of thumbs its nose at all of those rare dragons in Dragons of Tarkir, right? For 4 mana, you get a 4/3 flyer, which is about equivalent to any of the dragons in there. Only except for not having Megamorph, it has a fantastic ability.
Megamorph.
Is what you mean, Phil. That yeah, is, I meant say to say right it. Megamorph. Yeah. I'll just cut
and
that.
And next time we do Morph, we'll have Super Ultra Megamorph +2. Megamorph was the most stupid name for a keyword, card ability ever, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. And sadly, that survived all the way from design. So that was kind of a creative fail.
Someone really loved that, and it was someone nobody wanted to upset.
It's better than Smorph.
Yes. Smorph. Yes. Which was its playtest name, I think, right?
Yeah.
Supermorph. And we can go on about Megamorph. It's just not a great of whatever.
I should have called it Enlarge.
No. So I would put Smothering Abomination in Shattergang Brothers and try him out there.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, why Shattergang Brothers?
Because they're already sacrificing creatures to clear the board.
Got it. And even though this force is a sacrifice, you're talking about taking advantage of the sacrifice effects.
Yeah, and it's a deck that already sacrifices creatures, and so is probably already playing Edict effects.
Yeah. You have Sacrifice Matters effects in there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is going straight into Garve, straight into Jared Golgari Lochlord, and going straight into...
Hey, I'll have me a Smothering Abomination, you wee Jesse.
And...
Are you laughing at me, you Yankee?
That has to happen.
It's going to happen, don't worry. And this is going to go straight into Shaeldred, and it's going to go straight into Lazav, and it's going to go straight into Vela, the Nightclad, and I need to pre-order about 10 copies of this, I think.
Yeah, yeah. in Shaeldred, that's going to be really brutal.
Yeah, this will straight replace... Kotefed the Soul Hoarder in my Shaldred deck. It'll be a one-for-one swap.
I see now. For American listeners, that's Kotefed.
I will. I will beat you English style, which means sending you a passive-aggressive letter in the post and not returning your phone calls. Well, maybe returning them 5 minutes late.
Is phone spelled P-H-O-U-N-E?
I will.
So what about Cot Ho Feed?
Think of the Queen, Sean. Think of the Queen.
Hey, why don't we just move on to my number two card? My number two card is the Endless One. It's casting cost...
Which was my nickname at school. Yeah.
It's got an even casting cost, unfortunately. X... And
hey, that's zero, huh?
Yeah, CMC of zero. And Endless One, it's simple. It's a creature Eldrazi 0/0. What use is this, you say? Well, Endless One enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. Hello. So this guy...
Kind of my Krufix deck.
I smell shenanigans.
Yeah, this definitely goes into a Krufix deck. There will be shenanigans, and you'll enjoy them. The only real problem is it has no enter the battlefield effect. So something with haste has to be strapped onto it, but I'm sure we can figure out a way to overcome
it. What do you mean it has no enter the battlefield?
Well, it doesn't come in and destroy something. It doesn't come in and change the board state, except a big fatty just landed. And so if you have the ability to add haste to it and
trample, it enters with counters on it.
Yeah, but that's not the...
So Linvala means he enters with zero. Yeah, Linvala would mean he's a 0-0 because he can't have the... He doesn't get the counters.
Torpor Orb switches him off as well.
No, it doesn't.
Does that not...
This is not an
enter the battlefield triggers happening?
It's not a triggered enters the battlefield effect.
No?
No.
It doesn't say whenever.
That's right.
Whenever.
I see.
If. Yeah.
All right.
So I could use this deck in Garve because it counters.
Yeah.
Use this card. Anything that generates tons of mana might want this.
Animar's good. Yep.
Mana echoes.
So if you're ever doing those like Cabal Coffer type black shenanigans decks and you've really wanted a giant X creature like a Hydra, but you're not in green, this is your giant Hydra.
Yeah. Don't forget Animar and whichever of the Rakdoses gets a discount on creatures as well.
Lord of Riots.
Lord of Riots.
Yep. And this one just has shenanigan written all over it. And I think the only thing that makes it have a lower profile than I think it deserves is that it doesn't have haste or trample. But once you get those two on it, oh yeah.
It's also a card you can cast for zero mana. I know it will automatically die, but there are things like modern / vintage style loops you can do with zero cast cards.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I can't think of any, but that someone will find something.
Like whenever you cast a creature, something happens.
Yeah, whenever being able to loop it in and triggering something a billion times.
Or whenever a creature enters your graveyard.
Yes. And that's a trick. If you have Butcher, Dictate, or Grave Pact Out, Dictate of Erebos, sorry, or Grave Pact Out, you cast this guy for zero, and it's a zero casting cost Fleshbag Marauder. In Carador, it becomes two zero casting cost Fleshbag Marauders.
Yeah, keep recasting it. So, a question about this one's artwork. Now, I know it's meant to be a vestigial limb or something, but does this card have a giant Eldrazi phallus?
I knew you were going there as soon as you said that about the art.
I know it's meant to be a curled round hip or tentacle or something.
A gyre.
But it does look a little on the member side. No, just me seeing that?
Yeah, I think you just see things like that.
Yeah, I think you have phalloy on the mind right now.
Phalloy on the mind. No, just me. Okay.
Let's see.
That's why he's called Endless One.
Let's see. Yeah, that tentacle is very poorly placed.
Yeah.
And it's coming off of his rear, its rear, quote-unquote, hip. But yeah, that definitely looks like he's sporting some Woodrow.
Some Woodrow. That's the first time I've heard it called that. So.
Anyway, my number two is a blue card, Ugin's Insight. Three colorless and two blue. Scry X, where X is the highest converted mana cost among permanents you control. Then, draw three cards. So this goes well in lots of big mana decks, especially those that care about the top cards of the deck. And flavor text alert. Hey, Phil, what does Ugin sound like?
You speak to me of the threat of Ulamog, but do not forget, they came as three.
So where are the other two?
That's right. Jace is here. He'll save us all.
Yeah.
He always does.
I think Jace has made a mistake. But to answer the other two question, Kozilek, or Cozy, as I like to call it, is deep underground, eating the plane's core. The Sentinel of Cozy and the Herald of Cozy both indicate that. And Emmy appears to be out of office right now. She... because she's portrayed, Emiria is portrayed as a female figure. And of course, Emiria is the, the bastardized version of Emrakul. Only has a couple of examples of Emrakul brood scions and other creatures in the artwork. So, Emmy's gone. Emmy's out. Cozy's just slumbering, eating, he stayed right where the food is and is eating deep underground. Cozy?
That's some good plane.
This plane, yummy.
Actually, I have no idea what Kozilek sounds like. That's Nate's purview.
Ugin. Ugin's Insight. This card. What do we think of this card?
like it, even though I portrayed Ugin as a very old man. But yes, like the card.
He is old. He's lived for a few thousand years, isn't he?
Yeah. He's probably got a cooler voice than that, though.
He's like a tree beard.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like that that Doberman in the film Up, where he looks really cool, but he's got a really embarrassing voice. He's like the footballer David Beckham. He's attractive. Everyone wants to be around him. But when he talks, you go, oh, right, I see.
Like Mike Tyson?
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Ugin is the Mike Tyson of Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that's even better.
When you speak to me at the threat of Ulamog, but exactly. You don't forget the gamers are free.
Tyson said to Bellerin.
So this will be a good, this is a pretty good card. We tend to play with high converted mana cost permanents, right? Especially late game, and then Ugin's Insight is a perfect hand filler at the end of the game, toward the end of the game.
It feels like a commander card.
Yep.
I don't think this would be too useful. I don't think this will see a lot of standard play. I think its CMC is too high.
Yeah, I think in standard and limited, you spend your entire turn doing this and no impact on the board, and it's too late, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your permanents are cheaper.
Yep.
Or if you've already got like an 8 to drop Eldrazi in, you should be winning anyway. Well, you pay 5 mana, draw 3 cards is what's called that? Divination? Is that 5 mana for 3? Or is that 4 mana for 2?
Divination is 4 for 2.
Right, so there, I think there is a 5 for 3 already that doesn't have the Scry X on it. So, you know, it's all upside.
Opportunity is 6 mana for 4 cards.
And Divination is 3 mana for 2 cards.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, it's a good card. It will go into several blue decks nicely. It will replace several Divination type effects in certain decks. It's good.
Yeah, it is.
Will it go into an Animar deck, though?
I don't know. It might go into Jaleva.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Jaleva is the command zone caller.
Because then I get to stack the top of my deck right before I cast Jaleva.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Hmm. If we ever make a Melek deck, it probably goes in there.
Oh, Melek.
Oh, Melek.
Yeah, so... lots of big converted mana cost card
shenanigans.
Card shenanigans, exactly. That's what I was trying to come up with. Speaking of shenanigans, and now we're at our number one card. So for each of us, this reflects the best card in the set according to our play styles.
Yes. Any of you that know me at all would have guessed this. Is my favorite card, I think.
I do not look forward to seeing this card across the table.
I'm going to play it too.
Me too.
Yeah, so this is possibly my favorite ever Magic card ever printed, and I've not even played with it yet. I'm that excited, and I don't use hyperbole lightly. Well, I do, but you know what I mean. This is the Sire of Stagnation.
Dun, dun, dun.
4 mana and a Dimir for a 5/7 creature Eldrazi mythic rare. It has Devoid, so it's colorless. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, that player exiles the top 2 cards of their library, and you draw 2 cards. Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, do your Dimir decks need a second Consecrated Sphinx?
Marebear's going to play this.
Oh my god. Now, I know it's not quite a consinx because land comes into play less than people draw cards in EDH or in general in Magic. But this makes it slightly less of a threat as well. It's going to get hated out less than a consinx, but it's going to sit there like a good Eldrazi and be insipid and... Not insipid, that's the wrong word. Insidious. And just creep out and... Even if you play this, you've got a 5/7 creature out, no one plays the land for a few to... Ah, it's just so good. And the exile the top cards of the library is... People are going to start really thinking long and hard about whether to drop a random land. There are certain decks that are not going to... Oh my god, everyone in my meta plays with Boundless Realms.
I think this will be hated just as much as a Consecrated Sphinx.
Really? Do you think it'll pull that much? It doesn't fly.
No, but it sits there and stops everybody from doing stuff.
Didn't stop them doing anything.
It only stops them from playing land.
It doesn't stop them playing land.
It discourages them.
It discourages. Doesn't stop them doing anything.
In their tactical decisions, they will be playing less land, and that will be frustrating, and so they will band together to get the sire off the board.
Will they play less land, though? I think playing land is so essential that you'll just have to, unlike Ristic Study, where you take the hit of, I'm going to pay the one extra mana to stop my opponent drawing a card, you have to play land, unless it's really late game.
I think it's a learning process with Ristic Study and Consecrated Sphinx, how opponents react to it. And so I think there's going to be a learning curve with this card as well, but that education will be achieved, I think.
A much swifter education.
I think the general populace will become educated and begin to hate this card off the table.
I mean, it is blue-black rather than just blue, so you're going to see it less than a Consphinx.
Sure.
Considerably less.
Unless you're playing.
But if you're playing me, you're going to see it every game, hopefully. But it's pre-ordering for quite a hefty price at the moment. So
sure.
Because it's mythic and it's new. And I think it will probably hold its value. So I'm contemplating just taking the hit and ordering a few of these. Because I'm currently running 5 decks that run blue-black in them.
Now, this will be necessary in the coming standard environment, I think, to counter landfall. And if you're playing landfall, especially in this set, you're probably not playing blue or black. So this is definitely a sideboard card, right?
Yep.
And in terms of standard, and that's what's going to control its price. I think the price is going to come down, but it's going to stay up in the higher range. It's not going to be a dollar mythic rare. It's going to be in the $5 range through until it rotates out 18 months from now. For us, right, for EDH players, I think you look at this as it's a 6 converted mana cost card. So unless you're playing Sultai, you're going to be playing this at turn 6, 7, 8, assuming that you have it in your hand. And
No, this is turn 5.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? In that range, that's probably the sweet spot, depending on your land draws and what kind of artifact ramp you have. So can that beat a ramp deck, right? If you look at a card, like my fastest deck is Marath. Marath just drops, can get to 7 or 8 land by turn 5. Sorry, 7 or 8. Yeah, 7 or 8 land by turn 5, and then it has mana ramp on top of that. And I know Nate has equivalent like that, and Sean, you've been dabbling with that missing part of the color square.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, it's really a race. Did they draw their Skyshroud Claim? Right? Did the green player already draw his or her Skyshroud Claim? Do they have the mana they need? Maybe. Maybe not. It certainly is going to prevent Scapeshift shenanigans and Boundless Realms, like you said.
I'm thinking this goes into a Sultai deck, then you hit, what's it called? Wave of Vitriol.
Ha 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 ha.
Indeed.
That's funny.
You're going to exile I'm out of cards of your deck, and but you're going to lose all your dual land, all your non-basic lands, and I'm going to draw a bucket load of cards.
Yeah, it's true.
Boo.
It's true.
Don't boo me, Anamar Eldrazi boy.
Well, I'll be using this card too.
Yeah,
so and you can boo me when it happens.
Boo myself. Boo.
I've already found a home for it in Mimeoplasm as well, so. Yay! Sire of Stagnation.
3 thumbs up.
Yes, indeed.
A, it's a solid A.
Speaking of 3, I'm going to open 3 of them.
Can you send me one? Because I won't open 3. I have terrible luck of opening mythics I want.
I know. I do too. I'm joking. But this one I feel good about, and I'm going to have my daughter open all of the packs.
You going to record them all?
Yeah, we'll do another contest where we open a random pack of Battle for Zendikar. Okay, so yeah, my number one card. You ready to move on?
Yeah. I've said everything I could ever say about that card. I'm so happy it hurts.
Yeah. My number one card has a home already in Marath, and really has a home in its own deck because it is, of course, a legendary creature. It is Omnath, Locus of Rage, for 3. Red, red.
Omneth!
Yes, exactly. Omneth has gone from kind of a derpy voice, like, oh, I'm Omneth, to now it's,
Omneth, crush everything.
3, red, red, green, green. 7 converted mana cost in your face, Void Winnower. Legendary creature elemental, 5/5. Landfall. Oh, but here's the part that doesn't work so well with Winnower. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a 5/5 red and green elemental creature token onto the battlefield. I tell you, it was difficult choosing between Eldrazi Scion or red and green elemental creature tokens, but
you chose correctly.
That would be enough, but that doesn't quite qualify it for mythic rare status, right? Here's the part that's awesome. Just awesome. Whenever Omneth, Locus of Rage, or another elemental you control dies, Omneth deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Marith creates elementals, doesn't she?
She does, yes. And I've been thinking about tuning Marith to be more elemental-based anyway because of mana echoes, but now, dudes.
Elemental tribal.
Yeah.
Descendant's Path.
Descendant's Path, exactly. Go elemental tribal, red, green, white. All of those colors are known for their elementals, and I think I'm gonna retune Marith. Of course, Doubling Season will stay in there. Parallel Lives will stay in there. This is just...
Go Wooburg and go for Horde of Notions.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people with Titania decks saw this Omneth spoiler and immediately started looking through their red cards.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Yeah, and basically landfall shenanigans. So you get a decent sack outlet, you run some landfall shenanigans, and you are in business with Omneth, Locus of Rage. Arrgh.
There's a sort of tendency in the last few blocks to make gruel commanders. So I'm thinking Xenagos, Artaka World Render, and now this. That just punch you in the face.
Gruul!
Gruul's just... The design for gruel, like, they perfectly encapsulated the elements of what red and green should do so beautifully in those 3 cards in the last 3 sets.
Yeah.
So you're growling so hard that you drool, and so gruel.
And you can't keep a job.
And you're foaming at the mouth. Yeah, that's gruel.
That's gruel.
That's the technical term for the froth at the mouth for a berserker.
And if Omneth had a mouth, it would be frothing.
Omneth doesn't have a mouth. Omneth has red arms, orange arms.
There's probably some stuff bubbling out of the front of them.
Yeah.
Like sputtering.
Omneth, gruel now!
Omneth was locus of power. Now Omneth, see no drowsy. Omneth, hunger.
No, he doesn't hunger. He rages. No, didn't work.
No.
Omneth, smash!
Omneth hate hungry things, though.
Omneth full at the salad buffet. Why Ulamog keep going back?
Save room for meat!
Ulamog gets sick if he keeps eating that much shrimp.
We 3 need to go to a Brazilian steakhouse.
It's going
to
cost me more than you, because the side order with mine is a plane ticket to LA.
Yeah, well...
It will happen. You're going to get me outrageously drunk, aren't you?
Outrageously.
I don't drink normally, though, so I'm going to get killed on one blooming Bud Light.
We welcome abnormal drinkers.
Right, okay.
So speaking of being...
I come back with a tattoo of your face on my backside. That'd be okay.
Yep. Nate and I will have to argue which cheek our face goes on, though.
No, we'll get a Riku tramp stamp. It'll be Nate and Phil back to back on Sean's back side.
Speaking of being hungry,
I am quite peckish.
Yes, me too. What is Nate? What is your number one card?
Yeah.
All hail Ulamog. For those listeners who have been shielding their heads and concealing them underneath rocks, can you tell us what Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger does?
Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger is 10 colorless. It's a 10-10 legendary creature Eldrazi. When you cast Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger, exile 2 target permanents, indestructible. Whenever Ulamog attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of his or her library. A force as voracious as time itself.
That is certainly a weird voice for a card like Ulamog.
Well, it's a contrast.
Yeah, so we talked about this as a potential watch list card as well. That whenever Ulamog attacks trigger is fantastic.
His cast trigger is brilliant. I mean, even if you counter him, he's still exiling 2 target permanents.
And as if those two aren't enough, indestructible. But, you know, it doesn't have trample or haste or flying.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that means he's discouraged from attacking? Oh, wait. No. No. Indestructible.
Yeah, indestructible. Good lord.
I was playing with the other Ulamog just last night.
Ugh.
And yeah, he's great. I Genesis waved into him, actually, which was funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I Genesis wave for 12, and I hit a Worldspine Worm and Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre. I mean, I didn't get his cast trigger, but I was laughing. But then someone else on the table tapped down all my creatures, and they had a Stoic Angel out, which meant I could only untap one creature a turn. I said, you do understand that one creature is Ulamog, and you do understand he's now attacking you until you're dead. And, yeah, they couldn't... Oh, that's a bit unfair. I was like, oh, come on. You tapped down all my stuff.
Oh, that's a bit unfair?
Yeah.
Who do you play with? What is this?
I play with people that don't like even the... I play with one person who fails to comprehend that Magic is a game where you have to defeat your opponents.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That just seems like it's perfectly logical. If somebody is causing you pain and locking you down, you kill that person if you can. That's it.
Yeah. And, you know... There was no conversation on the lines of, we're getting into in-game politics now. There was no conversation of, are you going to attack me with that Ulamog? Because if you attack someone else, I'll leave all your stuff alone. Which I would have been perfectly open to. I would have gone, no problemo, that's fine. I'll start swinging with my giant horde of giant creatures elsewhere. No, it was just, I'm going to tap all your stuff down. I'm like, all right, you've made who I'm going to annihilate for an easy decision, haven't you?
So remember, kids, the power of negotiation.
Indeed. Yeah. Never forget that you have a mouth.
And a brain, although some people don't. So I'm thinking of all of Nate's decks and how many copies of Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger he's going to have to buy.
Yeah, what's it pre-ordering for?
£21 in England. So that's what, $28, $29?
No, it's closer to $30, $31. But in United States money, it's only $20. I do like that. God. That the Magic community basically equates dollars and pounds. So
I don't. I get the short end of that stick.
Yeah, you do.
So Nate, how many of these are you ordering?
Oh, I don't know. I'll see what happens at the pre-release. Cross fingers.
Yeah, I'll do. If I get a foil one, I'll send it your way.
All right, I'll certainly put that in the episode so everyone can hear it.
That is a legally binding contract.
I'll tell you, if I open a foil one, wow, this doesn't even, it doesn't even
You'll
register.
Forget how to construct a sentence.
I just clicked on foil as a filter on TCG and it rejected me.
Yeah. No.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Get out, Phil DeLuca. We've seen your credit card.
Well, you got to figure that this foil is... Yeah, it has seen my credit card plenty of times. Don't say that,
Kelly listens to this podcast.
No, she doesn't.
Shh. Ixnay on the L-E-K.
Yeah, I think the foil for this one is easily... It's going to start upwards of $50. So if I open a foil one, Nate, I'm sorry, I'm going to sell it.
I told you, I've got Commander's Arsenal for you each when I come over.
I don't know what to say there. That's wonderful.
It would be cheaper than the hotel I would have got. So, yeah, anyway.
And Nate will provide other services.
What?
I've got a bet right now. I'm going to get one Commander's Arsenal. Right?
Tattooing services.
And then say, right, which one of you is willing to go the furthest to earn this? And then set you a series of challenges.
I will have Kelly start drafting a tattoo for you now.
I don't like this game anymore.
This game sucks.
But I really want a foil Sylvan Library. Ah!
Do we want to move on to our latest homage to the MTA cast, or do we want to talk about our listeners' choices for Battle for Zendikar?
We can do both.
Let's do the MTA cast homage first, because on the Magic the Amateuring, the excellent Magic the Amateuring podcast that you should all listen to, even if you're not an amateur, you could be a pro player of years, you should still listen to it. It's one of the best Magic podcasts out there. They often look at which card is cutest. We decided that we would flat out steal that idea and discuss which card is cutest.
It's not like this is an end step.
No, it is not like this is an end step.
All right, my pick for cutest card is Blight Herder. It's 5 colorless, creature Eldrazi Processor, 4/5. And it's got some stuff on the text. But if you look at the picture, it's like a horde of puppies, Eldrazi puppies, and they're being shepherded along by a friendly dog walker or humane animal rescue person, just with a bunch of kittens or puppies, whatever they are, just scooting along.
Yeah, look at that one in the back with the weird tentacle that the others ignore.
Hey, me too.
He'll be the last one to be picked from the rescue center, won't he?
Yeah, it's the runt of the litter.
Sacrifice me first. Yes. Okay.
He's the first to get sacrificed for a mana.
Yeah, I kind of look at... So this is another card that just goes in a lot of decks, but I kind of look at these as kittens or chicks, baby chickens.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, come on. It's hurting them.
And they're probably wobbling as they walk because they're still figuring out how to move their tentacles.
On those new tentacles?
Just flopping around.
Every time you kill an Eldrazi, that Eldrazi was someone's mother. Just remember that.
And she gives you one mana for it. Here you go.
Every time a bell rings, an Eldrazi scion has been sacrificed.
Bring, 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 bring.
Where's Timmy the Turn Turtle when I need him?
My cutest card is, of course, Omnath, Locus of Rage. With a name like that, how couldn't it be the cutest? But really, it's Omnath, Locus of Teddy Bears. Locus of Teddy Bears. If you look at Omnath, not even carefully, that beautiful, fluffy little egg-shaped body with those cute little webbed, fingered arms.
It's the dumpy little legs.
He's just going.
The legs makes it.
It is. It's the dumpy legs, and he's just going, I want a hug.
Yeah, you did mention that it was a plush toy.
Yeah, it's a plush toy.
You can make a plush toy and just, like, angry eyebrows in the front.
Yeah. Yeah, really furrowed,
go,
angry.
Just sell that. Go to GPs, sell them out of your trunk.
So, Sean... You've selected a very cuddly card.
I did. Well, it's not so cuddly. It's more a card of love. The card I've chosen is Touch of the Void. So it's 2 and a red for a devoid, colorless sorcery. Touch of the Void deals 3 damage to target creature or player. If the creature is dealt damage, this way would die this turn, exile it instead. But look, there's an elf there, and he's getting a little kiss off a cute Eldrazi.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, he just wants a cuddle. Look, he's got his arms out. Give me a kiss.
And that elf, if you look on his face, at first glance, you might think he's screaming in terrifying agony of being exiled to the blind infinity for all time. But no, just look again. That's a happy face. Yay! He's saying. Oh, you can imagine a little speech bubble there saying, yay, Eldrazi kisses. He loves it. Oh, look at his little tentacles. He just wants a kiss. Eldrazi need love too.
For those of you who care about the fitness of the characters depicted on art, look at the abs on that Eldrazi.
Oh my god. Yeah. He's ripped.
He is totally ripped.
Enthralling Voidster.
Small tangent. Has anyone else noticed the design parallel between the Ulamog brood Eldrazi and the Norn, Elesh Norn faction in Nephyrexia? You've got stark whites with muscular reds.
No,
it's just that bone is a nice color to paint on miniatures.
It's an easy color to paint on miniatures. No, am I the only person that thinks there's a image link between those two?
So far.
Yeah, you'll see. Look, if you look on that Touch of the Void, on the Eldrazi's abdominal plates, they're starting to look a bit less bone, a little bit more mechanical. Maybe that second to last plate. Maybe I just see Phyrexia in everything.
I think that's more the case.
I think you've been visualizing Elesh Norn quite a bit in your mind, in your imagination, and it bleeds over into what you see every day.
If you had to go on a date with one Phyrexian praetor, which one would it be? It wouldn't be Vorinclex. Think of the bill at dinner.
Well, that's why you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
Who do you take, Vorinclex or Ulamog?
I think Sheoldred would be fun. She knows how to party.
Urabrask. Urabrask would get so drunk.
No, you'd be eating fast food.
Yeah, that's fine. But we'd be running to different places. There's so many. Like he, I think Urabrask is a bar hopper extraordinaire. For our British listener, that's pub crawling.
Thank you.
But you know, when I look at your card, Sean, I don't just see the abs on that. I go, check out the ears on that elf.
I mean, yeah, someone is inspired by poison elves, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's no beast caller savant where it looks like he's gone to a Halloween store and tacked those on to the back of his head.
That's a good card.
Beastcaller Savant is pretty good. It's a 2-mana dork, though. But with haste, it kind of makes up for that.
Yeah, he's going into Anamar with the... He goes with the Somberwald Sage and Shaman of Forgotten Ways.
Yeah.
Is that the new one, the Beastcaller Savant?
Yeah, it's Beastcaller. Yep. We might
as well. One that Wedge from the Mana Source pointed out looks just like the actor who plays Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones. Is the same blood. Like, if that is not a direct draw, the person was having dreams about that actor.
Yeah.
And then subconsciously did it.
This is definitely inspired by Enthralling Victor.
I don't know that card.
Yeah, it's the card from Origins where there's a it's a red card where there's a dude there and the goblin is looking up like,
oh my god, he's so buff.
And this card has nothing phallic about it. That is a lotus cobra, not just a snake. And I want to read the flavor text on Beastcaller Savant. So Beastcaller Savant is a 1/1 elf shaman ally for 1 and a green. It has haste, tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast a creature spell. And then they come because I call. They stay because I listen.
They took that. I swear to God, they took that from some How to Be a Player type book. I swear it. That is the most cheesy flavor text I've ever heard.
It's there's some neurolinguistic programming going on in that. Like, this guy is the expert of NLP.
Yeah. Oh, I like the flavor text on Touch of the Void. Some wounds never heal. Yeah. Simple, but vicious. I like it.
That's right. We are still talking about your cute card, aren't you? So, yeah. Listeners, please, we'd like you to vote on whether or not Blight Herder, Omnath Locus of Rage, or Touch of the Void is the cutest card. And, of course, we are going to call out MTA casts on this because we are rather blatantly stealing their cute card just for this set. But there were so many cute cards in this set. I like tentacles.
So puppies or plush toy?
Puppy, plush toy, or fishy kiss.
Yeah, kissing. Kissing a squid.
He just wants love.
Yeah. Look, that elf is so happy. You can never unsee that. He's like, yeah!
Someone please put a speech bubble on that for me. please.
Top men are working on that right now.
Yeah, by top men you mean Nate to put on the YouTube, yeah?
I'll just wait for Morrow to do it. And his Tales from the Pit.
Yep. All right. All fun aside, we are no longer having any fun.
No fun.
Boo. No fun at all. How will Battle for Zendikar affect your decks?
Mare Bear is going to be making room for some cards mentioned here today. Should I call her Mary Berry? Is that a better name? Will that draw less hate?
Academy Award winner Mary Berry.
Mary Berry. Anyway, I like the cards that say exile and the one that says your opponents can't even. And Animar will be including even more cards than Mare Bear. And as I said, Rakdos of Riots gets an Eldrazi overhaul. I'm going to be making an Angry Omnath deck and probably cramming him into a lot of gruel.
Delicious gruel.
Delicious, delicious gruel. Yeah.
Phil, how's BFZ going to affect your decks?
So as we talked about, the Angry One will also make it into Marith and its own deck. I am definitely going to be tapping into the Dimir stream, as it were.
Oh, join me, brother. The water's cold, but fine.
But I'm only going to be incorporating it as a subordinate clan to Sultai, because it's going into Mimeoplasm. I don't run Dimir decks. They're just so boring.
I will find you and kill you.
That's twice in one episode. I've got a Karametra. Of course, Karametra Enchantress. We'll see if there's something in there. But I've got a Karametra Landfall deck I don't play with very, very much, but it's got some brand new friends. I'm definitely going to figure out how to drop Vampiric Rites into Athreos, and Athreos may see a couple of other buddies too. Endless One is likely to make an appearance in nearly everything, and I also think there's a Naya Allies deck to visit, and I've been kind of brewing on and off a Bant deck. I actually picked up an Angus McKenzie to do that. It's a Spanish Angus McKenzie. You'll like him.
Señor McKenzie.
And I really, though, I want an excuse to try a Feldegriff, and maybe I have that now. And Sean?
So, as I've already said, Smothering Abomination is literally going into every deck I own, as is, well, of the 12 decks I currently have built, 9 of them run black. So Mortuary Mire is going into all of them. The Sire of Stagnation is going to be a backup Consphinx in 4 decks. I'm so looking forward to playing it. It might even, depending on how people react to it, replace Consphinxes in the decks it can, just to become make it slightly less nasty, because Consphinx gets hated off the table so fast. The Obnixilus Planeswalker we didn't mention, I'm hoping to pull one of him.
Oh yeah, Sparky.
Obnixilus, who shouldn't play with matches, he's really good. Should we reread him quickly? He's got 3 exceptionally good abilities for a 5 mana black Planeswalker. Just finding his art. There he is. Of Nixilus Reignited. He's 3/2 black for a 5 loyalty planeswalker, Nixilus. It comes at, yeah, loyalty 5, +1, draw a card, and lose 1 life. So he necropotences for 1.
Necropotence 1. Oh, wait, that's in the future. We haven't talked about that yet.
Necropotence 1, right.
Have I missed a joke there? What's Necropotence 1?
Necropotence 1 is pay a life and draw a card.
That's something we talk about in a future episode.
I see. Yes, of course. Now I remember. I actually remember the conversation in the future, and it's all coming back to me.
Yes, that time loop that we set up is pretty darn confusing. Listeners, we have just cut a message from the future that came through garbled, and it's too dangerous for us to broadcast it.
-3, destroy target creature. Awesome. -8, which I know you can't get too excited about Planeswalker Ultimates because they're Planeswalker Ultimates, but just in case you do get it, it's brilliant. Target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a player draws a card. Whenever a player draws a card, they lose 2 life. Like, there you go. You're on a clock. Have fun.
Because Nekuzar needed more of that.
Yeah, Nekuzar did need more of that. But that's a great card. But this is just going to... It's going to gas my deck so fast. It's just going to put so many cards into my hands. It's... The mirror of me is just so happy. I expect the next block of BFC there, so Guardians of the Gator Sea, whatever it's called, is going to have less black and blue, maybe get enemy coloured. We're going to certainly see some Izzet stuff if the Herald of Kozilek is anything to go by. But at the moment, I am a happy Sean.
That's the movie adaptation of Oath of the Gatewatch, isn't it? Guardians of the Gate to Sea.
Yes. It's got Bradley Cooper playing an animated Blight Herder.
And Happy Sean was not your wrestling nickname in high school.
No, it wasn't.
I think we're going to see a bigger impact almost immediately from Battle of Zendikar compared to all of the other recent sets the last 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, it took a while for the gods to kind of catch on, which was surprising.
Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of Dragon Lord decks. Mostly the Dragon Lord decks go into the relevant god colors. Even then, you know, you don't see a lot of them just because of... You basically only see a Tarka.
I've seen a few Ajitais in a sort of Azorius good stuff deck. That's it. And Silumgar, obviously.
Yeah, I think we'll almost immediately see the Ulamog deck and the Omnath deck. I know friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski, is already planning on building an Omnath deck.
I think you'll see a few... Hedron Grinder decks.
Yep, and of course, Jason Alt has already built and brewed a Zada deck, so I think we're going to see a lot of these decks right away. So let's move on to our listeners' picks.
Yeah.
Or, Sean, I always like it when you say his name, so would you start with Nicholas?
Of course. Friend of the show, Nicholas Jaragoski, picks Omnath, Locus of Rage, hands down, already ordered half the deck, smiley emoticon.
Yeah, that's good.
I really look forward to playing your Omnath deck, Nick. Really look for... Oh, God, it's going to hurt so much, isn't it?
Will it hurt more or less than his Ulasht deck?
More. It's going to hurt more than Ulasht. Ulasht you can stop by shutting down like the Mana Echoes. This is just going to be filth.
No, he's still going to have Ulasht in the deck.
Yeah.
He's going to morph his Ulasht deck into a Omnath deck with elemental support.
Yeah, this is devastating.
He also says lightning bolt tokens are awesome.
Yeah, so he's planning on sacrificing creatures to bolt things to death.
Mm-hmm.
Pow, pow, pow.
Token creatures, like, to be precise.
Yeah, like poor Berigmos.
Next person.
Our listener picks are the result of our asking folks on Facebook and Twitter to name a card that they plan to use right away and what deck they plan to put it in. Robert Andrew Black writes, both Green Warden of Murasa and Omnath Locus of Rage in Horde of Notions. That's pretty good.
Hey, I recommended Horde of Notions. It's a good deck. I've one I've often thought about building. I'd like to see deck lists, people.
Anders Skoglund says, Scour from Existence and probably some Eldrazi's will go into my Jaleera deck. Hey, look at Ugin's Insight. And he's tempted to brew around Munda.
Hmm. Yeah, those are both good cards.
John Waters says on Twitter, I presume it's not that John Waters.
It's at Ominous1030.
Yep. So John Waters at Ominous1030 says, Kiora, because the Bantland deck needs more goodies. Who doesn't like digging and untapping? Mm-hmm. No one. No one dislikes digging and untapping, John. No one at all.
It's true. It's true. So Command Tower at CMD Tower, he writes, from beyond in Gave or Gave, Noyan Dar Royal Shaper will be a brand new deck, and Hedron Archive goes in all decks. And Mortuary Mire, he calls out Tassigar, but as we all know, it goes in every black deck. Yeah, and it's worth mentioning, if you don't follow Command Tower, you're going to miss his pictorial representation of his deck. He creates those really cool collages.
Yeah, he does. They're really cool. You should follow him on Twitter. It's at CMD Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Bruce Lee at Reserve List. Breaker of Armies and Bow of Nylea bug deck with From Beyond and Sire of Stagnation with the other cards I showed Kurt Cobain, 26.
Uh-huh.
I won't jump on Twitter now and do it, but if you go onto my Twitter feed and look for what Bruce sent me, there's some good combinations of Cyrus Stagnation. Very good ones.
You know, Bruce,
he's getting help.
Yeah. He doesn't need help.
I was asking for help. Everyone who helped me with my brew on my Veil of the Nightclad deck, by the way, good job. It did well on my last time when I used it.
What was what was the best card recommended to you in terms of gameplay?
Thran Lens, which in that deck reads all of my creatures are unblockable.
Yummy.
But there you go. Yeah. So she gives everything Intimidate, and Thran Lens makes all permanents on the table colorless. Yeah. Lovely. And in fact, I have to thank the next person, the really totally random that came up. The next person is the person that made that suggestion to me, which was Russell, who is at Rogue Artificer on Twitter. He says, complete disregard for Zergo, because despite it not being Sunforgeable, it's on point flavor-wise. I don't know complete disregard. I didn't read that card. He also says, he's got three suggestions. It's brutal. I'm going to read them all. All right, I'll go and check it out. Akum Hellkite for Jaya Ballard, because Dropping Mountains hasn't felt this good since Valakut, which is, it's the Valakut Molten Pinnacle on wings. And outside of Hedron Archive and Scour from Existence, which go in any deck with mana, there are a few sweet cards that I'm digging. Yes, all good suggestions, Russ, all good suggestions. And it was a pleasure playing you the other day, by the way. We have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward.
Even
though you did beat me.
That just endears him to us.
It does.
So Magnet, who is at MRDR Magnet, I wonder if he or she means Murder Magnet.
Murder Magnet.
Or Mordor.
Could be Mordor Magnet, yep. Mordor. I mean, we know things are drawn to Mordor, so it could be. From now on, we'll just pronounce that Mordor Magnet.
Perhaps Magnet finds goblins are attracted to him or her. Mordor Magnet. Nope, that fell flat. yes.
Hey, let's do
I suppose
some,
they might.
Let's do some Mad Libs. No, wait. Mordor Magnet says, Resolute Blade Master in Alisha, Green Warden of Murasa in Miri Enchantress. Ooh, Miri Enchantress.
She's got guile.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She's also sometimes cursed.
She's got guile.
She knows how to use it.
William Johengen at SilkWilly74. March from the Grave and Ally Encampment are going into five-color allies. Just wished we could have had a five-color legendary ally.
Seriously.
We might still yet have one.
Yeah, but now we have to wait till January.
Yeah, that's true. But you've got all the Commander 15 stuff to get excited about before then.
That's true, but there won't be any five-color allies in that.
Oh.
No, unless something really weird happens.
Could also be Slick Willy.
No, it's Silk Willy. It's definitely Silk Willy.
I think it's Slack Willy, 74. And if he disagrees, his protest will reveal too much about the truth. Anyway.
Could it be Sulk Willy?
It could. It could be Cold Eye Selk Willy. There's a magic reference pun for you. Sheldon, if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed that
one. That was good. That one was good.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. So, Natalie Vervi, or Vervi, who is at Cardboard Nirvan, or Nirvan. I'm butchering saying words today, aren't I? Anyway, Natalie says...
As usual.
Natalie says, I should do it in my cockney, shouldn't I? Natalie Vervi at Cardboard Nirvan says, Undergrowth Champion will go pretty much in anything, G. Solid. Don't believe it's broken. What does Undergrowth Champion do?
But she does write it Borken with a zero.
Borken. Baroken.
That's Swedish broken.
Borken? What does Undergrowth Champion do? I don't know that one. I must have missed that.
It does some
green.
Yes, it does some good things. It was, you don't, since I know you're colorblind, you don't see green.
It's outside the color square, so yeah. I didn't read it.
It's actually quite good. It's one and green for a creature elemental, 2/2. Mythic rare. If damage would be dealt to Undergrowth Champion while it has a +1/+1 counter on it, prevent that damage and remove a counter from Undergrowth Champion. It has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Undergrowth Champion.
So it's not a counter per point of damage. It's just a counter per time it takes damage. Right.
What I've just realized is that I read the sentence, Undergrowth Champion would go in any, pretty much anything G, which she meant anything green, where I thought she was being ironically gangster and saying, we're going in pretty much anything, G.
Yeah.
And I totally misread that. So I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm an idiot.
Maybe you should reread it as a gangster.
Oh, God.
No. Move on. She says something else. Go ahead.
But this is one where you could say,
she also says, Void Winnower is full of flavor. Yes, it is. It's going into a strictly 4+ multiplayer, send triplets, no deck. Send triplets for Void Winnower. You, lady, are a genius. I have a send triplets deck. I'm finding space for this in it. It's a deck designed to annoy. It's going in that deck.
You are
a filthy wizard.
You are a filthy wizard.
Does your send triplets have Grand Arbiter Augustine in it?
Yeah, of course it does. You're asking. It used to be my Grand Arbiter deck that turned into a Centripetus deck. So Void Winner will do is stop people casting spells in their hands, which means when you mindlock them with the triplets, you have a lot more, a far greater number of options to cast.
I am only playing odd casting cost cards from now on. Seriously.
Yeah, there's a deck brewing challenge.
And yeah, it, you know what? I'm going to make a note here. Deck brewing challenge. Yes, indeed, Nate. Challenge accepted. It will be led by Marith.
Rules question on Void Winnower. So if I have out a card that says reduce the casting cost of, I don't know, it's picks and creatures by one.
Nope.
Does that flip the...
No.
Doesn't affect it because they're in your hand. Doesn't affect the actual CMC.
No, because it doesn't change the CMC. That's right.
Cool. Understood.
All right. So that was the It's Almost the End of Our Show segment. And now we move on to the It's the End of Our Show segment.
I'm going to go and follow Cardboard Nirvan.
No, don't. I was going to recommend... Actually, follow has been replaced by Block. So... block her, because I don't think you should be getting any more advice from her.
I want inspiration. There she is.
Void Winnower.
She's a bad influence on your
very
decks.
Bad influence.
Bad influence,
and
young
she
man.
She is followed. No, Mum and Dad, I'll follow who I like. Leave me alone. I'll go to my room. I'll let you two work out which is the mum and which is the dad.
Call Dad. All joking aside, and Natalie, we really do appreciate your contributing, even if it is making our lives harder. We do love our listeners, including you, Natalie. You're all fun, you tell us what you think, and you even play test decks with us. How cool is that? So please take the time to contact us, and if you really like us, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because eventually our RSS feed will work again. It makes us feel a lot better, and we can point to it and say, hey, look at that, to the people who care about these things. So, our theme song was created for the podcast by Nate Burgess. Our logo was created for the podcast by MrPicto.co.uk, with assistance from Kelly. Special thanks to Tech Wizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his service space. You can reach us by going to our website, CommanderAndMTG.com. Our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, mtgcast.com, and Reddit by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast.
Bill, how do people find us on Twitter individually?
Oh, individually? On Twitter, I'm at KetJack.
I am at Copain26.
I'm at Mr. Plorg.
And, you know, we didn't have an interview with the Eldrazi, but I'm sure they're going to be around long enough that we'll have plenty of time to interview them.
Don't forget about Bane!
Oh, God in heaven.
When Zendikar is in ashes, then you can open up the next booster pack.
That's the Eldrazi drafting rules.
Sean, is that the end of our show?
I don't know. Please, please let it be the end of our show. Hey, listeners. This is the end of the show. Oi!